our body is made out of dirt, or the earth. Now, in the beginning, the earth was without form, and it was void. And so Adam's body was without form, and it was void. Void of what? Light, and life, and blood, and the Spirit of God. So God forms Adam out of the dust. Now, to understand why that's so important, you need to understand the nature of dust. Dust has no light of its own. It's dense, it's darkness, it's soil. So what does that mean? It's the letter S and the word oil. And now oil is actually another form of blood. It is plant blood. Oil comes out of a seed. If you crush a seed, that's a different kind of oil. The oil that's in a seed is a heavy, fatty molecule oil that doesn't have much aroma. So if you were to get avocado oil, if you opened it and you smelled it, you could smell a little something, but not much. Olive oil is a little bit more pungent. Peanut oil, not so much. Why? Because it's a fatty oil. What is that oil? It's inside the seed, so that when the seed goes into the dirt, into the soil, and dies, it will break open and a sprout will come forth. That little sprout needs nutrients. It don't have leaves yet, and it cannot absorb a nutrient from the sun, and photosynthesis can't take place yet. So that little pocket of oil inside the seed feeds the sprout until the sprout can break through the soil and then start receiving its nutrients from the sun. And it's already got its root system going, because the first thing happens is it begins to go down into more darkness, left and right, back and forth, and all these different directions to get established. And then the sprout comes out, and that's that little tiny oil inside the seed is what feeds that sprout so it can do all those things. Now, once the sprout breaks the ground and it's no longer in the darkness, no longer just in the soil, it's in the soil and it's above the soil. So it's abased and it's abounding, okay? So as that seed now breaks the soil, those little leaves that are on it can now absorb nutrients from the sun and nutrients from the darkness or the soil. It's getting nitrogen, it's got a pH balance, I think it's got nitrogen, potassium, and something else, I forget. But there's three main things you got to have in the soil for something to grow. There's your three again. You're going to see the three often, okay? Because the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so as that sprout comes out and it's now has the stem, that stem is going to begin to branch, right? Well, the branch is what Jesus calls us. He calls us branches. All right, so the inside the plant now, you have a living organism that is creating blood. It's called oil, but it's a different kind of oil. This oil is now aromatic. This oil is light and floaty. So it's floats and it's oil at the same time. It's just the molecules are so tiny, you can smell them and they'll go in your nose. They'll go through the blood-brain barrier. Why? They represent the Spirit of God. And the Bible says that there's the oil of joy, the oil of gladness, and the oil of mourning. Okay, so what is the oil of mourning? That's what jump starts that plant, that little bit of oil in the seed. So why is that the oil of mourning? Because that seed has to die. What is a seed? It's a form. It's a form of something. Now the tree has no form. It's free going. It goes in all different branches, go everywhere. Vines go everywhere. They can go. All things are possible. But when it's in a seed form, it's a form. It's rigid. It's hard. It's condensed. Well, that's how the law is. That's how the word is. The word is a form. Now, the form always has to die or you can't get the sprout. And the sprout is where the aromatic oil is. Okay? So that squeezed oil, the oil that you squeeze out of a seed, is the oil of mourning. The oil that comes out that's aromatic, that's your praise and incense. Okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to go into your life, and we're going to find those words that broke your heart, that makes you still feel like you're in darkness, that you're covered up in this deep, I can't get out, and every time I try to get out, I just go deeper into darkness. Why? That's what seeds are supposed to do. You just don't know it. You don't know that the word came into your life to die. You don't know that you came into this earth to die, but you're made out of soil. So God formed Adam out of soil, and you're going to act like soil. You're going to live like soil. You're going to respond like soil. God didn't make a mistake. God wasn't like, oh man, I wish I'd picked something else to make Adam out of. So why is there an S in front of the word oil? Because the word S means whisper. It means the hiss. It means to see in part based on your past experiences. So what is it that deceived Adam and Eve in the garden? The S, the snake, the serpent, the whisper, their past experiences. Why? Because past experiences give you knowledge of good and evil. Okay, so God formed Adam out of the dust, and you're going to always have that nature. And we said, well, that nature's got to die. Yes, but it's only going to transform. It's going to go from that which rules you to that which submits to you. But it's never going to go away. Your earth nature is not going to leave you. You're going to learn how it works. It works just like dirt. So what does dirt do? Dirt is a receiver of seed. Guess what a woman is? A receiver of seed. Guess what your heart is? A receiver of seed. Now both of those places are dark. The womb is dark and the heart is dark. The Bible even calls it wicked above all things. It's deceitfully wicked. Well, that means it was crafted. It was formed. It means I've carved him. The word carve and craft and grave is the same word. So God basically made Adam a grave before he ever died. Why? Because he knew he was going to die. How did he know he was going to die? Because he knew he was going to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. How did he know that? Because God knows our nature. And he didn't. And it's not an accident that he died. Everything that lives must die. Didn't Jesus say? If those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life shall find it. See? So we're made out of dust, and we're going to act like dust. Now, but God, after he made Adam out of dust, he breathed the breath of life into him. Now, the life is in the what? Blood. So at that point, Adam became bloody mud. That's what it means. It means mud with red in it. And so Adam, God breathed the breath of life into him. Why? Because he made him out of dirt because he's a receiver. That's the image of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a receiver. We even call earth Mother Earth. Not even knowing. We think that's, you know, New Age or whatever. No, it's got a reason behind it. Okay, so God breathes the breath of life into him. If you look at those two, that is the primary the two. And the two shall become one. Okay, that's our first image of the two. Soil, which is a receiver. Breath, which is a giver. Now, inside Adam was Eve. She was already there. Why? Because God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul created in God's image, both male and female. All right? So now, once a wife receives a seed, she then becomes a giver. Right? Because she can now give a baby. So God made Adam. He made him a receiver. He gave to him. And then all of a sudden now, Adam is now a giver. Why? Because that's the nature of things. It's the nature of God. Giver, receiver. Giver, receiver. And all things are possible. So now that we have Adam, who is first a receiver, and now because he's been given life, he can now give, God puts him into a sleep and takes Eve from the inside of him. Why? They both have a receiver and a giver in them. Eve has ovum, Adam has seed. But they can't manifest, can they? They can't multiply because she's still inside of him. So the only way for Eve and Adam to come together and multiply, they have to be divided. Okay? Just like the seed. In order for the seed to live, it has to divide and die. Right? So, God puts him to sleep, puts him in a trance, takes Eve out from the rib. If you look up the word rib, it doesn't just mean bone. It means bone of my bone. It means crushed bone. It also means rib as in a ladder. Like ribs on a ladder. Guess what your DNA looks like? A ladder. It also means chamber. Well, that's a heart chamber. And the ribs are what protects the heart. And so God forms Eve out of that. Now Eve, Adam says, he calls her woman. Now the word woe by itself means war. You can see, look through scripture and it'll say, woe, woe, and another woe. So guess what, man? You didn't know it, but when Adam said woe, he was saying war, man. Like, oh my gosh, here's my opposite. Here's my opposer. Here's the one who will oppose me. Why? Because opposites attract. And without an opposite, you can't see. Look at the word opposite. O-P-P-O, sight. You cannot see without an opposite. A mirror is your opposite. Okay? So he sees his opposite. He sees his opposer. That's the same word as Michael. It's the same word as duality. It's the same as positive, negative. Inside, outside, light, dark, up, down. It means opposer. It means opposite. So now he sees his opposer and he says, oh, woman, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And God names her and says, we shall call her Eve, for she is the mother of all living. Well, what does Eve mean? It means darkness. It means soil. It means the part that has no light of its own. It means receiver. Why? Because out of the receiver comes all things living. And Jesus received the word of his Father, because he didn't say anything unless he heard the Father say it, nor do anything unless he saw the Father do it. And he came to show us the way. He came to show us that we are a receiver. We represent receiver. We're made in the image of the female, which means bride, which means receiver of the word of God. That's why he's coming for a bride. We just don't understand female, so we say all kinds of stuff about it because we think of female only in the sense of woman with breast and womb and therefore going to give us a baby, and that's how we see women. That's not the fullness of it. It's part of it. But the deeper meaning, so you can grasp how God is female, it means receiver. Jesus received the word from the Father in the form of a parable, or he didn't speak it. Now that is the living word, not giving word, until he had the word. Isn't that amazing? So that's Adam and Eve. So God separates the two. Why? So they can be seen, because without opposite you have no sight. So that letter S is the opposite. If you look at it, it's the letter C face in one direction and the letter C face in another direction. Now you put that S on the word oil and you have oil, soil. You have dust. Okay. In scripture it also says that from dust you came and to dust you shall return. And I used to think that that meant like when I die, my skin's going to turn back into dust. And that's true. That is one level of understanding. But if you study that in the Hebrew, it says this: from bloody mud you came, and after you had enough dry dust and you've crawled on your belly enough in the dust, you'll return to bloody mud. You'll come back to me. Why? Because everything is from God, for God, and back to God. And God said all things will be restored. And so God's restoring us. How? Through Christ. Christ is the only way to the Father. So Christ came to show us the way. So the what is that way? First of all, recognize you're a receiver. That's what it means to be a living soul. When God breathed the breath into Adam, it says he became a living soul. He breathed the breath of life. He breathed his own spirit into Adam, and he became a living soul. Living soul means eater, carnivore, i.e./receiver. One who receives. Because what does it mean to eat? To put food in your mouth and receive it into your body, and your body get the nutrients. And then once you receive into your body, guess what your body does? It gives it away. Your mouth receives it and then gives it to the stomach. The stomach receives it and then gives it to the body. The body receives it and gives all the cells its nutrients, and then it has a waste. And God delivers us through the wasteland. That's where a baby comes out, but that's also how God delivers you in the spirit man. He brings you through your waste. That which appears to be darkness in your life and stinky and putrid and no good. I tell people this: if you could rightly divide an apple before you ate it, you'd cut the poo-poo part off. You wouldn't eat the whole thing. We try to do that in our life. We try to cut the bad out of our life because we don't want it to happen. That is an illusion. You're not going to cut it out. But you can learn that all of your life is good. Every bit of it, including the broken pieces. Why? Because Jesus is the one who broke it. He's the one that broke the bread. He's the one, he said, no man takes my life, I lay it down. So let's go back to where we were earlier. Earlier I said that God foreknew you. He knew you before. Bible even says that you are a written epistle, not with pen and paper, but with the finger of God on the tablet of your heart. And that's in Ephesians where he said he foreknew you. Now in 2 Timothy, I'm pretty sure it says, you can Google it if I'm wrong. I'm not. The Bible says it, so it's not hard to find with Google. But it says that before the earth was formed, God called us. If you look up that word called, it means proposed, like a husband to a wife. So why would Jesus propose to us? Because we're the receiver. Mankind is the receiver. Now I'll give you another scripture that backs that up. The Bible says that woman is the glory of her husband, of man. Woman is the glory of man, and man is the glory of God. So what does glory mean? It means to shine a light so you can have understanding. It means to glow, to put a light on something. So woman's nature, her physiological nature, reveals mankind. Man's physiological nature reveals God. So how do they reveal that? Man is a giver. God is good. Only the Father is good. That word good means giver. It means the only rich one, the only one that has the capability of giving. It means good. The word good and gimel and charity and love is the same word. So man's body, the fact that it's a giver, the fact that it has testicles and an ability to give, seed, that's the image of God. God gives the word. He gave his only son. There is no other giver. There is no other rich person. Blessed are the poor, for they shall see God. Right? So when you see that only God is good, that is the nature, that's what human man's body reveals. God being a giver, God is strong, God is the protector, God is the provider, God is the shield. Female represents mankind. Glory of man. She is weak. She has no light of her own. She has no seed of her own. She's a receiver. She's the lesser of the two. What does that mean? Like not valuable? No, he says, in my weakness, my strength is made perfect. In your weakness, my strength is made perfect. So being weaker than God is a good thing. Why? Because it means he's called you to be his bride. Before the earth was formed, that means he knew the nature of earth when he formed it. And he knew he was going to form you out of it. And he knew you was going to be void. And he knew that you were going to have this sphere around you, like an atmosphere or a hemisphere. Why? Because you are hemisphere. You're the place he wants to dwell. You're the sphere where he is. You are the place God created so he could dwell in you. Why? That's what a husband does. A husband wants a wife. Jesus wanted a family. He wants a bride. So he created us. And he proposed to you before the earth was formed. So you're made in the likeness and image of the earth, and you have the breath of God. So God made the earth to show you what you look like. And get this, the earth moves towards the sun and away from the sun, towards the sun and away from the sun. We wake up and we fall asleep. We wake up and we fall asleep. And that's not a mistake, nor is it evil in the sense of bad. It's your nature. And there was an evening and a morning, and God said they were good. Both evening and morning are good. Why? Because one's a receiver and one's a giver. So the sun is the giver of life. The evening is the receiver of light. Right? It receives the light. It's called dawn. It means to wake up. And he says, arise and shine, my beloved. When the two become one, it's called dusk. And that's when it's the most beautiful. You can look into the sun at that moment. You can't look into the sun at any other time. It's too bright. You've got to have a measure of darkness to see the sun. If you don't see your own darkness, you can't see love, because you'll think you can earn it. And love's not earnable. You can't earn God. God is love. God doesn't do love. It's who he is. I can't do love. I can't act out love. I can become one with love, and love will flow through me. Just like my body's made out of dust, but air flows through me. It's the same thing. So God proposed to me before time began, before the earth was born. So what is that proposal? Here it is. I propose, Angela, that you marry me. And if you suffer with me, you'll reign. Well, Jesus, what do you mean suffer? Here, Angela, let's look through the portals of time. And I'm going to show you the glory set before us. See, Jesus was crucified before time. And he proposed to you before time. So that means he foreknew you and proposed to you. And that means you accepted the proposal. What proposal? To suffer and die. How? Through the knowledge of good and evil. Why? Because the knowledge of good and evil will deliver you from pride of life. Why? Because without pride, I mean without humility, God can't be one with you. So God gave us the tree so we would be humble. Otherwise, we'd exalt ourselves against the knowledge of God and lift ourselves up higher than God and be in what we call Satan. Okay? So God's called you to marry him. We accepted. It was written on the tablet of our heart. We come into the earth and we forget all that. That's why he says, remember me. He's saying, marry me. It's time for the wedding. So on the cross, when Jesus was dying, this is a blood covenant. It's a covenant where his heart is about to receive every sorrow and suffering that you'll ever drink of. And it didn't just start on the cross. It started before the cross. It started when the dove came upon him and he went into the wilderness. It maybe even started before then. I'm sure it was. Obviously it started before time. But we can see it in Scripture at that moment when he goes into the wilderness. And he's hungry and he's cold and he's being tempted. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? If you are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God. See, in all three times he knew who he was. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He's other saying man is a receiver. Mankind is a receiver. Here, just throw yourself down. God will protect you. God will be your protector. I'm not going to tempt the Lord my God. I already know who I am. God don't have to prove to me he's my God. He's my Father. I already know who I am. I already heard him say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased already. Here, let me just bow down to me and I'll give you all this stuff. You can't tempt me with what already belongs to me. Why? Because a slave and a child is treated the same even though the child is master of all. Jesus knew he was master of all that earth. He knew who he was. And he's showing you, you're going to be tempted to not know who you are. You're going to go hungry. You're going to go cold. You're going to be thirsty. You're going to feel unprotected. And you're going to feel like you have lost everything. Why? Because I called you before time to marry me. Will you marry me? And you said yes. And I said yes. So then you go and he starts living his life, right? Falsely accused, called Beelzebub, put out of the synagogue, tempted and tested in every way, you know, everything. Went into the garden, sweat blood, and begged God to answer him. Why didn't God answer him? Because before time, God looked at you and said, God, you see, when she cries out and we don't answer her, Father, when I cry out, I don't care if I sweat blood, don't answer me. Don't answer me, Father, because if you answer me, I won't taste of her sorrow. I need to know what she feels or I can't marry her. So, Father, even if I sweat blood and all my friends are sleeping and I'm completely alone, Father, resist reaching out to me because otherwise my marriage won't mean anything. My covenant will be broken. Why? It's a blood covenant, that's why. So then he's betrayed. How is he betrayed? With a kiss and with money. Ever been betrayed by money? Oh, yes. Ever been betrayed by those who are supposed to love you affectionately and kiss you every day? See, now you understand why. So then you go before the council and you're innocent. You're an innocent child and you get falsely accused. You get accused of being a burden and the weight of the world being placed on your shoulders because if you wouldn't have came into this earth, and you wouldn't be such a burden to me. And then so you're beaten with words. And maybe even beaten physically. And you can't open your mouth. And even if you do, nobody listens. And they pluck your beard or your identity. You lose who you are. And you're completely naked. And everybody can see your shame. And then you have to carry a cross. It's too heavy. It's so heavy you fall and you fall and you fall again. Why? He would not let you fall by yourself. He was God. He could have carried the cross. But he gave up all of his strength. Why? To show you yourself. To show you that you couldn't carry it. He became one with you. That's the marriage. Then he's nailed to the cross. Why is he nailed to the cross? He's nailed to it because you are nailed to the curse. What curse? You're a judge and you can't stop judging. And in Matthew 7, it says, everything you judge, you'll be judged for the same thing. Now you're nailed to it. You can't get off and you can't breathe. And not what bone in your body will break. What does that mean? That means everything you judge is done. Come back on you. And now it's breaking your heart and it's tormenting your mind. And you totally feel forsaken by God. And at that moment, he cries out, I'm thirsty. And instead of somebody giving him water to drink, they give him more bitterness and gall and vinegar. See, vinegar is what happens if you don't put enough sweetener in the wine. Not enough love in your life. You don't take but a drop of love. A little love that leavens the whole lump. You just haven't received love yet. So that's why it's been sour. And it's been vinegar and gall. Gall means bitterness. But guess what? Without sour and bitter, your digestive system will not work. And without you having bitterness and sour and sorrow and suffering in your body, you cannot see love. It's not possible. That's why it came to you. It's the smell of truth, frankincense. It's myrrh, bitter weeping. Why? That's the only thing that will purify you like gold. It's a fire. It's a hot, hot fire because it will burn off every lie that you've ever had. So when he cried out, it is finished, what he was saying in the Aramaic, translated, go all the way to Hebrew, what he was saying is, it is my bride. He was saying, this is my crown, this is my glory. In the Old Testament, a woman is called her husband's crown. An honorable woman is a crown unto her husband. That thorn, that cursed thorn crown was us. The torment that we go through on this earth when we try and try and try and nothing works. Why? Because we can't get out from underneath the law. Jesus came to finish it. And the other word for bride is glory. So when he said it is finished, that means crown and glory. Now in the Old Testament, it says in the last days, it says in Habakkuk chapter 2, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall be revealed as the waters cover the sea in the last days. One of the glories of the Lord is his bride. That's being revealed right now. That's what I'm teaching you. That you were proposed to before the foundations of this earth were ever laid. And you were proposed that you would marry him in the same sorrow and suffering. And he said, and I'll go before you. And when I go before you, and if you'll eat of it and you'll drink of it from my hands, that is, he said, I won't eat of this again till when? Till the marriage supper of the Lamb. Why? He was waiting for his bride. So today, that's what's going to happen. We're going to eat of your broken bread that Jesus broke. We're going to eat of your life. We're going to drink of the cup. And we're going to remember who you are. And when you remember who you are, all of those cycles that's been happening in your life will end. You'll go through the Jordan, which means the abyss, and your feet will land on the land of Canaan. What does that mean? The land of humility, the marriage land. Why? Because you cannot marry him without humility. Those are your garments. Those are your robes, robes of humility that were fashioned with what? The knowledge of good and evil. Because when you see that you already are everything you've ever judged, you will be humbled. And you won't want to escape from it. You will want to be clothed. Father, cover me and keep me covered in humility. Why? Because you'll no longer want to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You will have seen the revelation of it. The Holy Ghost came to reveal righteousness, judgment, and sin. And that's what you're going to see. And when you see that, this sphere that's around you, this hemisphere, it's actually a biomagnetic field. In that field is where you plant your thoughts and your emotions. And when those emotions are in that field and those thoughts are in that field, they create your world around you. They're a real field. Like if you put wheat in a field, you get wheat. If you put corn in a field, you get corn. Well, if you put I am rejected into that field, you bring people in your life to reject you. But when that field now hears the frequency, the seed of I am the beloved, it's not possible for you to be rejected. Why? Because Jesus said, I know you have need of man's approval, but my Father shall never reject me. When you know that in your heart, in the amygdala part of your brain, where your emotions are, in your heart, your world changes for you. You don't do it. Why? Because His yoke is light. His burden is easy. He gives you life. He gives you life abundant. And goodness and mercy chase you down and overtake you.